she lost all those points. So you need to think of this in terms of like she lost her engagement ring. And in that culture, to lose your engagement ring was pretty much risking the whole wedding. Because the question would be, well, what, how did you lose it? Were you being careless? Where did it go? Because this was your most precious possession. This was your future that was in your possession. And she lost it. And so you can imagine the anxiety that's inside. You know that sick feeling you get when something has gone wrong and you're starting to think about the consequences of it? She has a sick feeling coming up in her stomach. And she starts to search her whole house to find this coin that is lost. She gets on her hands and knees. She goes to every single room. And she finds the lost coin. She's so happy that she's found the coin, that she rings up all her friends, she gathers them together, she says, I lost my engagement ring, but I found it, let's have a party. And Jesus says, that's what Father's house is like. That every time somebody who has been making choices that risk their whole future, somebody who has disconnected with God, every time they return to God, they repent, and they clean up their mess, and they reconnect with God. Every time that happens, there's a party in Father's house. Now the third story that Jesus tells is like a summary of the two that he's already told. He's trying to get the point across, so he's repeating the same thing. So the third story is about a family. And in this family, one of the two sons comes to the father and says, Dad, I wish you were dead. I'm pretty much through with being father's family. Give me my inheritance now because I'm out of it. And again, in that culture, to say that was pretty much to ensure that you were no longer welcome in that family. That was the ultimate insult that you could ever give to your father. And to say that was pretty much guaranteeing that you would never set foot in that home again. That son had no plans whatsoever to come home. His father gave him a portion of the inheritance and he left, and to all intents and purposes, that son was as good as dead. His father would never see him again, just like the sheep that the shepherd had lost. That son went to a far country and he squandered everything that his father had given, wasted it all. He took his future and risked it and lost it, just like the lady who lost her engagement ring. And then he came to this point of realization of the cost of what he'd done. And this change of heart that maybe, just maybe, there could be a way back into relationship with his father. And so he repented, he turned around and he went home to clean up his mess, to be reconciled to his dad. And when he got home, his dad said, let's have a party. Because my son, who was as good as dead, has come home alive. My son, who had risked his whole destiny on his lifestyle choices, is now back on track. Jesus said, that's what it's like in heaven. Every time somebody who has lost this family and rescued by God, every time somebody who is risking their destiny by their life choices gets back on track, heaven has a party, Father's house has a party. Now, there's a particular part of this story that is really important for you to understand. Those are just the stories so that we're all on the same page. There's a particular part of the story that you need to see, because this is what I felt the Lord wanted to highlight to you. So this is Luke 15, and it's starting at verse 25. And it says this. Meanwhile, I apologize. On my screen, that's nice and clear. But on that screen, it's come out completely different. I will read to you what it says. Luke 15, 25. It says, meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. So the other brother, remember there were two brothers in this family, the other brother has been at work all day long. And
and he comes home and he can hear the sound of the party. He can hear the boom, boom, boom of the music. And he can hear the fact that they've got past that awkward moment at the party, you know, where the dance floor is empty and everybody's looking at everybody else and going, who's going to go on first? They're past that. The party is in full flow. And it's not that he was left out. It wasn't that he wasn't invited to the party. It's just that he was working late. And the party couldn't wait. So he comes home and he's like, what's going on? Why are we having a party? Your brother has come, the servant replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So now, not only is there someone outside the party who was kind of late to the party, but they're now outside the party because they're offended. So his father went out and pleaded with him. See, the father's heart is for everybody to be invited into the party. He wants everyone to share his joy. So he personally goes out to invite his son to come in. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes who has squandered your property with prostitutes, you kill a fatted calf for him. Basically, he's saying, Dad, I've done everything that you've asked me to do. I've worked my guts out for you. And you never give me anything. This isn't fair. This isn't right. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Now, listen. Father's house is a place of party and of celebration. You as a church fellowship are going to be a place where people come who have been lost. People who to all intents and purposes are as good as dead. But because of who you are as a community, because of the conversations you have, because of Jesus in you reaching out to other people, those people will be found and they will be rescued. And for that reason, this is a place of party and celebration. But Father's house is also a community where because of who you are, and because of the connections that you have and the conversations that you have, people that you know who are risking their whole destiny, who are risking their eternal future, people whose life choices mean that there's a mess around them, those people will clean up the mess. And they will be reconciled to God and they will get back on track and they will regain their destiny because of your interaction with them. And for that reason, Father's house is a place of party and of celebration. And the chances are that actually some of you who are here today were once those people. That you were once lost and as good as dead, but because of someone else here who reached out to you, you were rescued. And you may even remember the celebration and the party that was had when you came out. And others of you, maybe you were here, and actually there was a season in life where the choices that you were making put everything at risk, your whole future. And because of something that someone prayed for you, or prophesied over you, or a conversation you had with somebody here, you got back on track. And you remember still the celebration and the party that they were when you were reconciled to God and you reconnected with Him. And there likely will be times when you gather as a church family that there will be people here who are lost and are as good as dead. And people here who are risking their whole future because of their choices. And you guys will speak to them. You'll reach out to them. You'll love them well. And because of that, they'll be rescued and reconciled to God. And there will be a party here in this place. See, Father's house is a place of party and of celebration. And you get to be a part of that. But it's really important that you understand that it's not meant to be a place of party and celebration that is in the past tense. This is meant to be a place of ongoing party and of ongoing celebration. Remember Jesus' pictures of the royal banquet. The whole point of that picture is to give you the impression that this is course after course after course of the very best of everything. That's what following Jesus should be like. And yet, if you follow Jesus for longer than 2 days, pretty soon you're going to find that you start to think a little bit like that older brother. Because the truth is that life doesn't always match up with that promise of the very best of everything. And so you'll start to look at other people and think, well, God is doing that for them. They're celebrating for that answer prayer. What about me? And Jesus wants you to know that that invitation to a party is not something that is meant to come to an end. Yes, he wants you to celebrate when other people get saved and when other people get reconciled, but your story is not meant to be about a celebration that happened a long time ago. Your story is supposed to be a story of celebration after celebration after celebration. Now, listen really carefully, because I'm not here telling you or offering to you an easy life. I'm not saying that that is what Jesus is inviting you to. He doesn't promise you a life that is without pain, without challenge, without trouble, without anger. No. What he promises you is royal provision, whatever it is that you're going through. And so when you're in pain, there will be provision for what you're going through. When you're in trouble, there will be ample provision. There will be more than enough for what you're going through. When you face a challenge, you will have heavenly resources to engage in that challenge. When you're faced by enemies, the Bible says he'll prepare a table in their presence, and your cup will be overflowing. That's what he promises you. And so the question is, how do you get that? I mean, if walking with Jesus is a life of the very best, everything, how do you get that? And this is really important, because you need to understand this. You see, that first celebration when someone is rescued, that first celebration when someone is reconciled with God, is a celebration because of the generosity of God. It's a celebration because God just pours his love out on an individual. He forgives them all of their sin. He welcomes them into his family. He reconciles them with himself. He gives them an eternal future. He gives them unconditional love. And all that gets handed to them on a plate. For free. And that's how many Christians expect things to continue from that point on. And that's why they end up feeling left out of the party, because they're sat waiting for God to put things on a plate for them. And that's not how it works. That's how it works when you first get rescued. But God's intention is not to spoon feed you for eternity. So come back to the question, how do you get heavenly provision regardless of what we're going through? How do you live in such a way that you can celebrate even when you're in pain? And you can celebrate even when things are harder, even when enemies are pressing you, you can celebrate because of the victory that God gives you and the provision that he gives you and the favor that is on your life. How do you get to that place? Well, the answer is it involves a change in the way that you think. That's take it.